Tonight I want to talk to you about a joyful ride. Our Lord wants you to have a joyful run through this life. And a joyful run does not mean you're not going to have trouble. We talked about that this morning. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But he didn't stop there. He said, take heart, I've overcome the world. So I want to read to you tonight, starting in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Father, as we look into your word tonight, help us to walk through all the rest of the days of our life in the joy of the Lord. And Father, we'll give you the praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. How many have ever been to Walt Disney World down in Florida? Walt Disney World in Florida? Okay. Walt Disney World is a place of joy. There's no place on planet Earth quite like Disney World. I want to give you a few things that makes Disney World special. Now, I know today they've gone a little woke, and that's not good. But besides that, Disney World in Florida encompasses 43 square miles of area. It's the size of San Francisco and twice the size of Manhattan. It has 70,000 cast members. It's the largest one-place employer in the entire United States. It averages every week 1 million visitors. If you can imagine that, 1 million people every week go through Disney World. It's really something. But what makes Walt Disney World special is not just how big it is or how beautiful it is. Walt Disney World was made special because Walt Disney, who created that area, wanted one thing to happen. He wanted every child that came there to have joy, to have great joy. And if you've been to Disney World, every ride, every attraction is made so that boys and girls that go there will be filled with joy. There's only one problem with Walt Disney World. When you're there for a week and you go home, what happens to your Walt Disney joy? It doesn't go home with you. Our Lord wants to give you a joy that never ends, a joy that will take you all the days of your life and right on into eternity. Do you know the Lord says in his word that the joy of the Lord is our strength? When we have his joy, it doesn't end when you leave Walt Disney World. You can leave Walt Disney World and go right back to your job, and you're going to have the joy of the Lord. You can leave Walt Disney World and get out in the car lot and find out that your car's broke down, and you're still going to have the joy of the Lord. It doesn't matter what comes into our lives. If we'll obey the Lord and walk with the Lord, we can have his joy in the worst of health, in the worst of wealth. Some people just don't have any money, hardly at all, but they have great joy. The missionary that comes here on Tuesdays with me and a couple other fellows, and we have revival prayer, tells me that Haiti is the poorest country in the entire Western Hemisphere. But the Christians there have greater joy than many Christians in our country that have everything money could buy, because they know the Lord. They walk with the Lord. Jesus said in John 15:11, I've told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Our Lord wants us to walk in his joy, because when we do that, then our joy will be complete no matter what life brings. you're going to have trouble. I'm going to have trouble this very week. We talked about that this morning too. But through the trouble, James 1, verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you fall into trials of various kinds, knowing this, that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. But perseverance must finish its work so that you can be complete and mature. You see, even the troubles of life can bring us great joy if our number one goal is to be like Jesus Christ. Because God uses both the bad things that we consider bad and the good things that we consider good, and he puts it all together and he works it for our good. And so it's extremely important for us to understand that as we study tonight the book of Philippians chapter 2, that the Apostle Paul has laid out a three-step process to guarantee you a joy that's in your heart no matter what life brings. And that's the kind of joy that I want. That when life gets hard, and life does get hard from time to time for all of us, for some people it's hard almost all the time. But when that happens, we can still have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul said, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. So Paul said, my joy won't be complete until your joy is complete. We think I can have great joy no matter who else is suffering. I don't have time for that. I want to have my joy. And so we just leave people alone. The Lord says your joy is going to be great when you consider others better than yourself. So I'm going to go through three steps in Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And if you'll pay attention and apply it to your life, you can have joy no matter what this life brings. Every one of us are in a different race. Your race through this life is not the same as mine, and mine's not the same as yours. There's never been any two races exactly alike. And so you're not in competition with anybody. This is your run through life. Every one of us get one shot at this life. I would love to go through this life with the joy of the Lord all the way through. And we can. And so the Apostle Paul says the first step in having the joy of the Lord in your heart on a continual basis is to give Christ Jesus preeminence in your life. He must come first in every area of our lives. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 again, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and mind. In the Greek language, in verse 1, where it says, if you have, it's better translated, since you have. There's not ever been a Christian that hasn't had in their hearts great joy, because I know now that my Creator God loves me. That brings every Christian I know great joy. There's a lot of people who say they're Christians, but they don't have the joy of the Lord in their heart at all, and the Lord really isn't their Lord. When a person really knows the Lord, that the God who created all this loves me. In fact, he loved me enough to do what? He died for me. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And the command of the Lord is that we are to put Christ first. Paul is assuming, and it should be true, that every Christian, the focal point of our life should always be Christ first. When I see Christians that are totally down and totally out, no matter what's going on in life, I can always say one thing. They're not putting their relationship with Christ first. that thing, that health that they lost, that job they lost, the problem they have with their car, that's number one now. And it should never be number one. How long are you going to keep your health? You know, sooner or later, your health is going to fail. I hope you know that. It's going to be that true for all of us. How long are you going to be able to work? There's going to come a time when you can't work. If your joy is on your job and it's not on the Lord, sooner or later, you're going to have no joy because you won't be able to work. I'm getting close to that point now. I can see it coming. I can feel it. And I know that within just a few years, my time of active working is going to be done. But that's not going to rob my joy. I do enjoy my job, but I enjoy walking with the Lord far more than the jobs that I have, and that's never going to end. And so if we keep our priority on our relationship with Christ, and we put Christ first, the joy of the Lord is never going to go away in our lives. We may need to make sure that we give Jesus Christ preeminence in everything. You have no other relationship that's going to last the same as it is through all eternity, except that one. I love my wife. I and Mimi get along pretty well most of the time. But I'm not going to be her husband through all eternity. And I'm not going to be her husband probably through this whole lifetime. One of us is going to go first. But I still have my relationship with Christ. It'll break my heart. But at the same time, I've got a relationship that's never going to end. And we'll know each other in heaven, and so that's going to be good. And she'll be different. It'll be fine. Oh, I'm kidding. I'll be different, and she'll be fine. Yeah, that'll work. In Philippians 2:1, it says, "A new command I give you. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion." That word fellowship literally means to share in common. The Holy Spirit has a work in our lives, and He wants us to walk with Him in humility. The Holy Spirit lives in every Christian. And so I'm not saying one person has more of the Holy Spirit than another. But the filling of the Spirit is what we need if we're going to walk in the joy of the Lord. And Christians have a different amount of allowing the Lord to be Lord in their lives. We all have the same amount of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a person. You don't get part of Him, you get all of Him. But sometimes a Christian won't give their heart to Him. And so he's only got a portion. What the Lord wants is us to give ourselves totally to Him, so that His joy becomes our joy. What does the Lord joy in? Does the Lord joy in the fact that you're strong and healthy and whole? The Lord says He doesn't delight in the legs of a man or the strength of a horse. He delights in a man or woman that gives their heart to Him. And so when we look at life, if we're really out for the Lord's glory, there's a lot of things we just don't worry about much. It's not that important. I've seen Christians lose their joy over the fact that instead of the Republicans winning, the Democrats won. That shouldn't be. God's in charge of that. I'm not saying that it's not important, but we can't lose our joy because of it. I've seen Christians lose their joy because their favorite basketball or football or hockey team didn't win. Folks, that's not good. We can be a little sad that, you know, our team didn't win, but it shouldn't change your joy of the Lord in your heart. If it does, we've got an idol. That thing, that person, that event, that job has become more important than my relationship with Christ. And I'm not putting that relationship first. And I see that with a lot of Christians. Paul goes on to say in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded." Like-minded like who? Like-minded like Jesus Christ, who loved you enough to lay down His life for you. When we get that kind of a thought toward others and towards our Lord, we're going to have the joy of the Lord in our heart. Like-minded doesn't mean we always think exactly alike. It's okay to have differences of opinion. But the love of the Lord should make it so that when somebody has a different opinion, we don't hate them, we don't despise them, we keep loving them. Because love is of God. And love is the most important attribute anybody can have towards anybody else. So we're to stay in love with Christ, and we are to love other people, even when they don't do well by us. The Lord says we are to love our enemies. And sometimes we can't even love our husband or our wife. We can't love our kids or our parents because they don't agree with me. They don't think like I think. But the love of Christ keeps loving no matter what. It doesn't mean you let people use you and walk on you, but it does mean you continue to show love to them. And when we do that, we have the joy of the Lord. Again, Philippians 2:2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, laid down his life while we were still his enemies. What the Lord wants us to do is love him the same way he loved us. The second thing is we put Christ first. He has the preeminence in every decision we make. And then number two is one that goes contrary to our culture, contrary to the way we probably were raised. We are to put others as more important than ourselves. This is a tough one for a lot of Christians. How do you know if the Lord has preeminence? It'll show up by how you love others. It will. That's what the Lord is saying here. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. So when you have a husband-wife relationship, who's supposed to be in charge? Who's most important? The husband should say what? My wife is. And what should the wife say? My husband is. When you have a parent-child relationship, who's the most important? The father and mother should say our children are most important. And the children should say my parents are the most important. Folks, in every relationship, if you want to have the joy of the Lord, you need to learn how to put others as more important than yourselves. You look around our church and you look at the people that are happy most of the time, and you'll find the servant's heart. You look at those that are miserable and angry and upset with life, you'll find somebody that doesn't want to serve others. Folks, it's in serving others that we have the same heart that Christ has. And it's so important we do that. Selfish ambition. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Selfish ambition says, I'm going to get ahead no matter what happens to others. Conceit is when you seek to build yourself up by putting others down. And we see that in the church. We see that in life. We see that in our workplaces. Everybody thinks in order to get ahead, you got to trample on everybody else, and you got to put yourself first. That's what we're told all through school. That's what we're told all through our lives, and it's exactly opposite. Remember, God said, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. If you want to be happy in this life, not happy, but you want to have the joy of the Lord on a continual basis, put Jesus Christ first and put others second. We get it all mixed up. Think about it. The first thing you have to teach a child, if you're a good parent, is what? Share your toys. What's some of the first words that children learn? Me, mine, it's mine. It's my bunny rabbit. It's my car. I don't share with anybody. The Lord says we have to unteach that to our children. It's not just yours. If you're going to have friends, what do you have to do? You have to show yourself friendly. You have to share things. And it's a difficult thing. I love the story about the young mother. She was preparing pancakes for her two sons. One was 5 and one was 3. And the boys were over there as she's preparing the pancakes, arguing who's going to get the first one. So the mother said, she thought it was a teachable moment, and she says, you know, Jesus said, if we'll put others first, he'll bless us. And so the older brother who was 5 said to his brother that was 3, you be Jesus today. I'll get the pancake first. That's the way, sadly, many even Christians want to do this thing. You be Jesus, and I'll just take. Folks, that's why they don't have joy. It's in giving that we receive. God says if you'll give, he'll give you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But we don't give. We try to take and keep, and we wonder, why are we so miserable? It's because that's never the way God meant it to be. Let's face it. We want everybody to be Jesus. And we want everybody to serve us. But you're never going to have the joy of the Lord that way. When you put Christ first and others second as more important than yourself, you're going to get a servant's heart. And you're going to start having some real joy. Again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Instead of running over each other, we'll be helping each other up. We'll be helping each other climb the ladder. It's counterintuitive and it's countercultural. Because our world teaches us the only way to get ahead is to walk on others. And God says that's not my kingdom way. My kingdom way is to serve others. We're told if you have to step on people to get ahead, it's okay. Jesus says, no, it's not okay. You cannot live with selfish ambition and have the joy of the Lord. It will rob you. Remember, Jesus said Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy. And one of the greatest tools that he uses is our own selfish ambition. It's not about you. It's about Christ's glory and the good of others. And as you do that, then Christ is going to go to work in your life. One more time on Philippians 2:3. Extremely important. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. The word consider refers to a conclusion that is carefully thought out. If I put others first, who's going to put me first? Let's just suppose you had a family or a church where everybody tried to put others first. They would put Christ first and others second and their self third. How would our church operate if everybody said, everybody that's here is more important than me and I want to serve them? Would that be a terrible thing? How about a family where dad says, my wife's desires, my children's desires are more important than my own, and the wife says, my husband's desires, my children's desires are more important than my own, and the children all say, mom and dad's desires are more important than ours. We're going to put them first. Would that be a terrible way to live? That'd be one of the most wonderful families you'd ever meet. Everybody's concerned about everybody. Everybody's trying to lift everybody up. And guess what the Bible says? When a church, when a family operates that way, if a nation were to operate that way, everybody grows as everybody uses the giftedness God has given them. That's what this life is all about. It's about lifting each other up, using what God has given you to bless others. In another letter called Romans, Paul wrote this in Romans 12:3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. This happened several years ago. Those of you that are football fans will recognize the name right away. Don Shula, He was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. He was the only coach in history that ever won a Super Bowl with an undefeated team. All year long, they lost no football games. And then he won the Super Bowl. And the problem was, when Don Shula went on vacation, he could never really enjoy the vacation because everybody was coming up to him to get an autograph or something signed or talk to him and his family. Well, Don Shula decided he was going to go way up in Maine to a little teeny village on vacation where he thought maybe nobody would know him at all. So he went up there and they had a nice time at their residence, but they decided to go to a movie one night. And he went into the movie, and when he and his wife walked in, everybody stood and applauded. And Don Shula thought, what a terrible, you can't even in Maine go. So he leaned over to the guy next to him and he said, well, I want to thank you for applauding, and I didn't know anybody here would know me. And the man said, are we supposed to know you? And Don Shula, well, yeah, I'm the coach for the Miami Dolphins. And the man said, well, we're really happy you're here. But he said, I wasn't applauding for you. Just before you got here, the theater manager said, unless we get two more people to come, we're not going to show the movie tonight. And when you came in, we all applauded because we're glad you're here so we can watch the movie. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. The whole world doesn't revolve around you. Our Lord's the one that's supposed to be worshipped, not us. Don't get a big head. No matter how important you think you are, you're not. When Don Shula goes off the stage and he can no longer be a coach, what's going to happen to the Miami Dolphins? They'll get a new coach. Life will go on. When I was a machine repairman in the shop, there were a few machines that only one or two guys were really good at fixing. And I can remember one of the machine repairmen telling me he was getting to the age where he's going to retire. And he said, I don't know what they're going to do. When I retire, there's nobody else can fix that machine. Guess what happened when he retired? Somebody else learned how to fix that machine. When you go off this stage, all of our lives are going to come to an end sooner or later. Is there going to be a major problem? There's not going to be a major problem. Life's going to go on. When I first hired in the shop, I was only in there a year or two, and the president of the UAW died. And I'll never forget it. I went to work that night, and they said, okay, we're going to shut down the machines for 1 minute to pay honor to the president of the UAW. They shut down the machines for 1 minute, and everything took off again. Nobody even missed them. Hate to say that, but it doesn't matter what your job is, what your position is, life's going to go on. Life has gone on for generations, and everybody thought, I'm the only one, I'm the most important one. No, we're not. We all have a job to do. We all have positions of authority, parents, everything. It's all important, but life will go on without you. So if you can learn that this life really is about Jesus Christ, and glorifying him, and this life really is about you using whatever giftedness you have to serve others. And then step three is if you can learn to put yourself last, that it's not about you. It's about how God can use you to bless others. In Philippians 2:4, this is where Paul's taking us. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Folks, if you can learn that lesson, if you can learn to put Christ first in everything in your life, others second in everything in your life, and yourself last as a servant of the Lord and of others, you're going to find great joy in your life. You're going to be able to have joy no matter what's going on. The reason this life was pure, the Lord Jesus Christ's life was pure, because he said, I do always that pleases my Father. He put God first. Jesus Christ came as a servant. He didn't come to rule and reign when he came the first time. He came as a servant to everybody. Such a servant that he was willing to die for us, for all mankind. That's how much. And we were his enemies. We were against him. Zig Ziglar used to put it this way, and I don't know how many know who Zig Ziglar was, but he was an author a few years ago and a great business leader. And he said, if you want to get to where you want to go, help others get to where they want to go. So we have to stop and answer the question that you maybe are asking right now. If I look out for others and I put them as more important than myself, who's going to look out for me? Because we are concerned about ourselves, aren't we? We want it to be reciprocal. Sometimes it's going to be. Sometimes when you serve others, they're going to serve you. And it's wonderful when it happens. But sometimes you're going to serve others and they're going to step on you. They're going to use you. What do you do then? You just keep right on serving. Because the Lord says, like 2 Chronicles 16:9, is an extremely important verse in the scriptures. Again, I would advise you to memorize it. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is right toward him. If we'll obey his word and keep serving him first, others second, and ourselves third, he's going to show himself strong on our behalf. Even though somebody else may not give you back good for the good you gave them, the Lord's going to give it back to you. Do you know the Bible says that if you give to the poor, you've loaned it to the Lord, and he will repay it? When we have those opportunities, and we all have those opportunities come up, take advantage of them. Help people. You know, the story's told. I want to hit Matthew 20 first, and then I want to give you another story. But in Matthew 20, verse 25, Jesus called, and it says them together. He called his disciples together. And he said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercised authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The secret of maintaining joy in the kingdom of God is not to climb on others to get to the top. The secret to the joy is to stand at that ladder and help somebody up on that first rung and encourage them to get to the second rung. As you build others up, God will build you up. But if you try to pull somebody down, you're going to have the Lord as your enemy. I don't want that. I want to keep going. Ronald Reagan, most of us remember him as a great guy, a good president, a loving person. I want to tell you a little story about Ronald Reagan. When we've seen him almost all the time, you've seen a big smile on Ronald Reagan's face. He was a happy man. I want to tell you why. Ronald Reagan, when he died, Vice President George H.W. Bush gave his eulogy. And this is what he said about Ronald Reagan. He told the story of how in 1981, Reagan was recovering from, remember the guy that tried to kill him, an assassination attempt? He was recovering, he was in the hospital, and some of his staff went up to visit him after a couple days, and they found him on the floor in the hospital, on his hands and knees, wiping up some water. And they said, Mr. President, what in the world are you doing? He said, well, I spilled the water, and I didn't want the nurse to get in trouble because she couldn't come and clean it, so I'm cleaning it up. Imagine the President of the United States cleaning the floor so that the nurse didn't get in trouble. That's the way the Lord wants us to live. If you'll put others first, the Lord's going to put you first. If you lift others up, the Lord's going to lift you up. The Lord says we reap what we sow. If you want to have the joy of the Lord in your heart, keep helping others. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he'll reward each person according to what they have done. You see, this isn't the end of the road. We live our lives, hopefully you're living your life putting Christ first, others second, yourself third, and as you do that, you're building reward that's going to last how long? All eternity, folks. When I worked at Saginaw Steering Gear, I got paid on Friday. But that money got used up. We had four kids, and it just got used up in a hurry, and it's gone. My reward was faithfully working 5 days, or six or seven, you got paid. But it goes away. When we get to heaven, every good work you have ever done for Christ's glory. And a lot of people think, well, it's got to be something really big to get a reward. No. Jesus said if you just give a cup of cold water in his name, you'll never lose your reward. Every good work you have done from the day you received Christ until the day you pass this life, everyone is going to get a reward that's going to last you for all eternity. Is it worth it? I'm going to tell you, it's worth it. You can have the joy of the Lord all the way through. I want to go back just for a second to Matthew 16:24. That verse is very important. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must, number one, deny themselves, number two, take up their cross, number three, follow me. What does it mean to take up your cross? It means you're dying to yourself. You're putting Christ first, others second, and every day you're dying to self. It's a wonderful way to live. And you get to take the choice. You can decide you're going to live for Christ, for others' benefit, and myself, I'll just take whatever God gives, and you'll be blessed in it. Or you can decide, Jerry Larkin's going to call the shots for Jerry Larkin's life. I'm going to live this life my way. I'm going to live for me. If it's convenient, I'll serve the Lord. If it's convenient, I'll serve others. Do you know when it's going to get convenient to serve the Lord? It's never convenient. We always were born with a sinful nature. We always want to put ourselves first. Do you know when it's convenient to serve others? It never is. You have to die to yourself. When we have children, we all know families that are dysfunctional. Mom and dad won't take care of their kids, they won't show love to their kids, and the whole family gets fractured. We think the decisions I make are just going to affect me. It's not going to affect just you. It's going to affect everybody around you. And God says there is a way to live that you'll not only have the joy of the Lord, you'll share the joy of the Lord with others all the days of your life. This is one of those things that's catching, folks. You walk with the Lord, you serve others, and guess what? Somebody else is going to catch the joy of the Lord. And they're going to start putting the Lord first and others second. And then somebody else. What a way to live. I just can't think of any better way to live our lives than to say, I'm going to put Christ first. I'm going to put others second and myself at the end of the line. And guess who's going to put you first? God will put you first. Father, we're grateful for your word. Lord, we ask you to work in our hearts that, Lord, we might put you first, others second, and ourselves last. And, Lord, we'll see the joy of the Lord blossom in our hearts and affect others for your glory. And we'll give you the praise in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen.